praise the Lord for that. Matthew chapter 28 tonight. I'm so surprised so many of you came back after how long service was this morning. And praise the Lord. Good to see you here tonight. If you still have stuff, we have some room in some of our bags. We have about 20 bags that are, Seth is kind of in charge of our weighing in, and he has mastered the scale, which is a blessing. And so we can take bags up to 50 pounds. Some exceeded, so we had to redistribute, but close to anywhere from 40 pounds or so in about 18, 19 bags, which is wonderful. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. This is after the death of Christ. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. That's a nice way to say they passed right out for fear. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, I think it's funny that soldiers passed out, and these two ladies are here still coherent. Some of our ladies are stronger than our men, no offense. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. Okay, verse 5. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Look at verse 6. This is it, right? He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. This is what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday and every Sunday thereafter, right? This is why we meet on the first day of the week. This is why we get together. Why? Because that tomb is empty. Jesus Christ had victory over death and hell and sin, and that tomb was empty. And he said, come, I'll show you the place. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth forth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. I can't imagine what that must have been like. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled there with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave, look at what happens here. They gave large sum of money unto the soldiers. When they woke back up, right? Hey, here's the story. Here's some money, and this is what we want you to say. Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. God, thank you for the victory that you had over sin and death and, hell itself. God, thank you that we can celebrate that even here again tonight. God, I pray as we continue through this passage, Lord, you'd strengthen and encourage us, reminding us what this truly is all about. God, I pray you bless service here tonight, that you'd be honored and glorified. God, I pray that for a moment, we would just be honest, it would just be us and you. We'd worry not about what anybody else thinks, but God, we would truly consider you. Lord, I pray you use your word in a powerful way tonight. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. There we have the resurrection of Christ. He comes. He makes himself visually known. The Bible says in verse 16, and the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Look at this. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Oh, sure, when we read that, we think immediately of Thomas. But it doesn't say one doubted. It said some doubted, indicating more than one. As we read through this passage, if our story just stopped there, if the events of the resurrection of Christ just ended with that and some doubted, we would walk away going, I don't know what's next. What do we do with this information? Where do we go with this? But as we conclude this chapter, there's three very important verses to follow. The conclusion of Matthew proves that what was told was a lie. Say, what was told? We fell asleep and the disciples came and took him. That's not what happened, is it? That was a lie. And I want you to understand this. Verses 18, 19, and 20. As all power is given and we go and teach and preach, God reminds us that he's with us. Every time someone puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it just proves that lie wrong one more time. Every time a new convert comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, it just kind of takes that lie and just slaps it in the face and says, you're not true. Here we are 2,000 years later. If it was a lie, it would have fallen by the wayside. If it was an untruthful story, those that were there that day would have never given their life, their family's life, for such an event. Every salvation, every convert, every baptism proves that that is a lie. Every disciple. So here in verse 18, the Bible says this, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The power of God is what enables men and women to do the work that has an eternal impact. I'm not sure if you're aware, but you and I, for the cause of Christ, if it was left up to us, we would just mess this whole thing up. If it was left in our hands without the ability and the authorship, if you will, authority of God, it would just be a mess. Imagine, no offense, Braden, but if Christianity rested upon your merit, and Braden's a good guy. Imagine if all Christianity rested upon your authority. But God says, no, no, it's not going to rest upon your authority. It's going to rest upon my authority. Because all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. As we go through and as we look at the Great Commission tonight and fulfilling the Great Commission, we start with something that was unbeknownst to us outside of Christ. And that's the power of God directly. Anybody ever hear of the name Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball was just your average run-of-the-day guy. Lived back in the mid-1800s, not known unless maybe brought his name up here. He had a kid in Sunday school, and he really just took an interest in him and really was concerned for him. Edward Kimball would go and he would pray for this young man, and he went to his workplace and spent some time with him. The young man was a shoe salesman. And Edward Kimball invested his life in this young man. Again, maybe his only convert, but that one convert's name was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, who would then impact all of the United States and England for the cause of Christ during the middle of the Civil War. Underneath the preaching of D.L. Moody was a young man by the name of Wilbur Chapman, who was an evangelist. Wilbur Chapman took a liking to another young man that came into his sphere of influence, if you will, a guy by the name of Billy Sunday. Edward Kimball leads D.L. Moody to the Lord. D.L. Moody then has influence on Wilbur Chapman. Wilbur Chapman then leads Billy Sunday to the Lord. So what does Billy Sunday do? Well, he leaves professional baseball in the 1880s, converted to Christianity. I was reading about him. He was shy in character. Billy Sunday, ever see images of Billy Sunday? He's got like a chair in his hand preaching. He was one of the most energetic. He preached over 20,000 sermons. The Bible, it was testified that he preached to millions and saw somewhere between around 300 people come to Christ under his preaching. So how is that possible? Through the power of God. Edward Kimball couldn't do that. D.L. Moody, God does things like that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Preaching is a strange thing. Say, no kidding, I've heard you. No, that's all right. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? Foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. When you open up the pages of the lady sang about it tonight, and you open up the pages of this book, this is unlike any book ever written. Amen. This is inerrant. That means it's without error. Amen. It's perfect from word to word. And it is called the Word of God. And when you open this up and you tell the truths and the principles from this, I'm not telling my story. I'm telling you what God said about things. And the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's how a person like me or someone that takes the Word of God and preaches it, faithful, small church, big church, can impact anybody. Why? Because it's God's power. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He asks this question, where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Bible says in Romans, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God sends forth preachers to take his story. God uses preaching. The Bible says in as we continue reading in verse 22, for the Jews require a sign that'll help you with your Bible as you read through, understanding that concept. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are both are called both the Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. What does that mean? That means God's power far exceeds what man could ever do. God in his weakness is still stronger than any person. God in his foolishness. I have six young people that live in my house now. No offense, Vic. But there's a somewhat level of foolishness that sometimes pertains. God says, and if there would be some way, God says, if my foolishness is still wiser than your wisdom. God uses the power of preaching. That's his power. Mark chapter number 12. Fulfilling the Great Commission starts with the power of God. Mark chapter 12 and verse 24. Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not err, therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? See, where is the power of God? Is it like an outlet, Mr. B? You work with power stuff. Where is the power of God? How do I get plugged into? You're holding it in your lap. It says that, ye do not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God, implicating to us that the Scriptures are the power of God. Amen. Hey, the worst thing, I would waste your time if I got up here and told you what I thought about things. If I opened up a book and, hey, I was reading this great book, and let me share with you these thoughts of this guy. Hey, what does God say about things? That's where the power is in the Scriptures. The power of God is the Word of God. What can change a person from dark to light? Walking in darkness to walking in light. What can take the hopeless and give them hope? What can answer the question, what is after this, or why am I even here? You go ask a professor. You go ask someone without the Word of God. Why are we on this earth? Where's Mr. Parrott? Mr. Parrott's working. There you are. What would they say? They would say, I don't know. I have no idea why we're here. No, why we're here? We're here by chance. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that God had a purpose and a plan for each of us. Thankful for the Word of God. It can answer questions that no one else can. Hey, what's after this? There's an eternity after this. Jay was reminding us this morning about how valuable those World War II veterans are. There's not many left. I'm not sure how actual many, but for them to have fought in World War II, they would have been born at a certain day. You're looking at mid-90s. If you got to live to be mid-90s, even, say you got to live 100 years, what's after that? Eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? So how do you answer that question? It's not what I think, it's what God says. What can change a person from walking in darkness to light, having no hope, to be able to answer those difficult questions? What can give guidance and direction to peace in the midst of troubled storms? We talked about that this morning. How on earth, in the midst of being locked up in prison, can someone, through praise, worship God by the power of God, knowing that there's something after this? As we go back to Matthew chapter 28, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Fulfilling the Great Commission, number one, starts with the power of God. Number two, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He sends us out. He says, go. I had a hard time coming up with a word that started with P with this. Power was easy. The third point's a promise. That's easy. Propulsion. That means to go. To propel. Propulsion. Is that allowed? I don't know. Thesaurus. You had to go deep into the thesaurus to get that, but we got it. Go. You understand the idea. God came, Jesus Christ showed up. Here's the disciples, they're doubting, they're worried, they're frantic over what just happened. Lies are being spread. He says, listen, don't worry about the lies. You have something far more powerful than lies. That's my power. You have the Word of God. Now go. And do what? Start grocery stores? No. Teaching all nations. Well, what are we going to teach them? 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I've had the blessing and opportunity to be able to work with young adults. Teach Sunday school, work in a Christian school. In school and even in young adults, there were topics that were maybe a little more confident that I just had a better handle on. I got a little nervous when the students would ask questions about literature or English. But if they had a science and math question, I'd be all over that. I like teaching math and science. It just made sense to me. I remember we had Haley Tabone and now Petrozello, and she just was not getting the Doppler effect. So what's the Doppler effect? It's sound waves, Braden. It's when sound waves are emitted, they scrunch up and they sound different, or if you push them apart, they sound different, although it's still emitted at the same frequency. And I'm explaining this to Haley, and that same look was there. I said, all right, here's what we're going to do. So I took her out front to the front of the church. I said, you stand here. So I drove up the road, and I was laying on my horn. And I was trying to explain to her that I'm holding the horn at the right sound emission. It's the same sound, but what does it sound like? Right? Isn't that what it sounds like when you go by? And it was just like, I get it. And that was a neat lesson. That's why that happens when, like, a train goes by and you hear it like that, because the sound waves are screaming. Say, is that the most important lesson that you could teach? No, that's not the most important lesson. If I could teach one lesson, if I could have one Sunday school class, if I could have one young adults class, if I could have one high school class, yet again, one chapel service, if all I could do is teach one lesson, it would be this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also, the Bible says this, ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If there was one lesson that I could teach, I would teach the most important lesson. Say, what is that? It's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's more important than anything. More important than Doppler effect. More important than how to diagram a sentence. More important than anything else. Why? Because all eternity weighs on this decision. The Bible says, go ye into all the world teaching. What are we teaching? We're teaching this right here. We're explaining to people, according to the Word of God, we're sinners. So I've never sinned before. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 20. Because it uses a word called, said saved. What does that mean? Saved from the consequence of my sin. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt, in verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. This is what we call the Ten Commandments. In verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Honor thy father and mother. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If you can look at that list and go, yeah, I've done all that. You're, number one, a liar. Number two, you're not honest with yourself. We're all sinners. We all need to be saved. Saved from the consequence of our sin. That's why it's the most important thing. It's not like a medication of, I take ibuprofen. Well, I take acetaminophen. And, well, I take, I don't know, what's after that? Codeine, Tylenol, codeine, heavy stuff. None of that other stuff. I take Excedrin or... this works for everybody. Because we're all in the same place. That's why it's the most important thing. Number one, we're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's a consequence to our sin. But, isn't that what it says here? For I delivered unto you, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day. What does that mean? He had victory over sin and death. So now what? Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. If there was one lesson, this would be the one lesson. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Remember that word back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says that we could be saved through the gospel. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Doesn't matter. Jew, Greek, doesn't matter. That's what we go teaching. So what do we do with that information? We go. Isn't that what it said? Go back to Matthew chapter 28. Almost there. Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Christ comes to the disciples and he says, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you my power. Say, man, that would be so awesome to have the power of God. Please remember that it's laying in your hands. It's laying in your lap. Remember, he uses the power of preaching. The power of the Word of God. And he says, I want you to take this message and I want you to go everywhere teaching. So we take it all over the world and tell everyone we can. Acts chapter 1. Look at this. Acts 1. Say, where are we at in the message? Are we almost done? Oh yeah, we're really close to done. Kind of. We're closer than we've ever been. Bible says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. Through the power of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we can take this message throughout the entire world. I don't want to try and make anybody American. I want to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important thing. Acts 13, verse 1, now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them and sent them away. To do what? Again, open grocery stores? No, to teach and preach the gospel. Look in chapter 13, look in the same chapter, verse 44. Chapter 13, verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. They didn't come to see Paul. They didn't come to see Barnabas. They came to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. We don't have this kind of people in the synagogue, right? And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, and contradicting and blaspheming. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it were necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of God was published throughout all the region. So what do we do with that? Hey, if this thing is true, let's go tell everybody. If everything that the Bible says is true, we should tell everybody. And we should publish it throughout every nation. That's why translating the Word of God into every tongue, every tribe is so important. Not only teaching, but the Bible said this in Matthew chapter 28. It said this, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Romans chapter number 6. Not only are we teaching them about Christ, but there's something to follow. Look at this. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. We are almost done. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. That baptism is a physical representation of a decision I made spiritually. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ to take away all my sin, past, present, and future. And after that, I wanted the whole world to know. And the Bible tells me to not be ashamed of that. And one way to do that is you get into baptismal waters, and those waters, Nadia, aren't going to save you. Your faith and trust in Jesus Christ will. It just shows everybody a decision that you made. It follows conversion. It is not the conversion. It's an identification. On my hand I wear a wedding ring. You know what this is? Say, this is my vow. It is not my vow. It represents the vow. It is a physical representation of a decision that Sarah and I made. Might be pretty close to right about here when we had the tent. Remember the tent? None of this was here. I don't think it was. No, it was not. And we made a decision. And we exchanged rings as a physical representation of a decision that we made heart to heart. You know what baptism is? It's a physical representation of a decision that we made heart to heart. It identifies us with Christ. And that's what Miss Nadia is going to do tonight. God forbid, if she were to pass away this afternoon or this evening, before she ever touched those waters, she would have been in heaven. But she just wants the whole world to know that she's not ashamed of her decision to follow Christ. That's what baptism does. Baptism doesn't save you. It just shows the whole world of a decision you made on the inside. As we go back to Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, and the Son, of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we'll do tonight. Fulfilling the Great Commission. What a great day at church. Say, why? Well, the Word of God was preached. There's a group taking the gospel to other nations. Miss Nadia is getting baptized tonight. Man, praise the Lord for that. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And then the greatest promise, look at this. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So first we started with the power. Second, propulsion. Third, the promise. A promise is only as good as one who makes it. If Isaiah promised me $1 million, as nice as he is, I would call into question the ability to fulfill that promise, knowing Isaiah. What happens if God says, I'm going to promise you something. I'm going to be with you the entire time. I'm going to be with you no matter what. And I look at that and go, yeah, but can you keep that promise? Well, he's never let us down. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded. Lo, I am with you always. In Numbers 23:19, you don't have to turn there. God is not a man. How many of you are thankful for that? Praise the Lord. That he should lie. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but sometimes men lie. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Has God ever made a promise that he went back on? No. Hebrews chapter number 6. Let's look there. So can God make a promise like that? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. We might have a strong consolation. We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. God cannot lie. So when he says, I am with you always, you know what that? Know what that means? He's with me always. Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 34. Psalm 89 and verse 34. He says this, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Hey, if he can make that promise to David, he certainly can make that promise to us. When he swears by his holiness, that's it. God cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 13. So if he can't lie, let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 13, look at this promise. In verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. People can't make that promise, but God can make that promise. So when he says, I want you to go into all the world, I've given you power, I've given you a plan. Oh, maybe we should have used plan. That sounds better. To go and teach and baptize, making disciples of men, followers of Christ, not followers of man. The greatest thing that you could do is follow Christ, not me. If a man gets up and says, hey, everybody, follow me. I understand, follow me as I follow Christ. But if people are trying to build kingdoms behind themselves, you're wasting time. The job of a pastor is to help people get closer to Christ. Then he says, I'll give you a promise. I promise I'll be with you. So at approximately 6:15 in the morning, Tuesday, 19 of us are going to strap ourselves into a plane. Leaving loved ones behind. Knowing that God is with us. And whatever may come, God has his hand in it. So we can go in the power of God with the power of God. With the message of God that is irrefutable. With the greatest promise of God. Say, you know, why don't you just tell your neighbor about Jesus? We should do that too. And our fellow worker, and the guy across the street, and a guy across town, and a guy across the lake, and a guy across the country, and a guy across the ocean. We should tell everybody. I'm so convinced 100% that every word written in this book is true. That we're willing to spend thousands of dollars to go to a people that have never heard it to tell them. Give up 2 weeks of our life. In the grand scheme of things, it's not much. I'm not going over there to try and make them Cleveland Guardian fans. I'm not going over there to try and introduce them to Jimmy Z's garbage plate. I'm not trying to help them understand how great America is. We're going to tell people, whether across the street or across the world, that Jesus Christ is the answer. That's it. And it's the most important thing that we'll do that day after day, trip after trip, hour after hour. That's our job. That is the Great Commission. That's not just for 19. That's for all of us. So if you're wondering, hey, what's on my schedule for this week? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we should do. Say, by what authority? By the authority of God. That's what he said. Given you this illustration many a times, but we'll give commands to our children. Mom said, or dad said, and man, all of a sudden those words have power. It's time to go in. Who says? Mom says, all right, we're coming. Because if it was just little one to little one, who cares? Excuse me, sir. Ma'am. There's someone that loved you so much. They died on the cross for you to pay for your sin. Say, who says? He did. I've traveled 7,000 miles to tell you. Or I walked, I know it's crazy, I walked 4.5 miles at 83 years of age to help little kids get pencils. And we filled 18 suitcases of luggage. And we're taking Sunday school material and we're going to teach. And at the conference, there could be anywhere from 500 to 1,000 kids. Young lady we met a year ago is getting baptized right in our midst tonight. It's just the fulfillment of the Great Commission. What part do you have in it? Are you in? Let's all stand. In just a moment, we're going to dismiss in prayer. We're going to go out and we'll assemble out there. We'll get changed and we'll be out there for the baptism. But I don't want to move off this message right yet. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day. Your whole life has waited for this. Number two, maybe this is the day you get in. This isn't just for preachers, missionaries, evangelists. It's for everybody. Say, I'm not able to do that. You're telling God that He can't do it. You're right, you can't do it. But God said, all power is given unto me. And He promised us something, that He'll never leave us. So we go in the power of God, with the power of God, with the message of God, with the promise of God. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Maybe you want to come and just submit yourself and say, God, I'm in. I want to go. I want to go across the street. I want to be a bold witness. I don't want to be a hidden Christian, a secret Christian anymore. I want to stand for what's right. I want to be an Edward Kimball. I want to just be a faithful Sunday school teacher, just a faithful witness, not knowing the great impact. Can you imagine the crowns at Kimball's? What that's going to look like in heaven? Teaching, baptizing. Maybe you forgot about that promise. Say, I can't go. Remember, the promise is only good as one who can make it. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. And Lord, I ask You to bless this invitation now. Someone here today would like to put their faith and trust in You. Lord, I pray You'd make that possible. Lord, I'd love to talk to them. Lord, I pray that You'd use the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God to work in their heart. Lord, it doesn't matter where they're from. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, I pray if we've been hesitant to serve You, that tonight is the night that we decide that we want to have a part, whether great or small, in the Great Commission. Lord, help us with these things. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? If you want to come talk to the Lord, if the Lord spoke to your heart, who's the Lord put on your heart to share the gospel with?